This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, open us now to be transformed in your word. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are evolving in love and truth by your holy presence with us, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Please be seated. Don't worry, I won't be too preachy over here. Maybe. So water changed into wine, the old becoming new. Jesus speaks and transformation happens. One or two times a month, for a few hours, in what's called Spiritual Fridays, in a place dedicated to the transformation and healing of those who struggle with addiction, I serve as a leader. And there's four other ministers from the area who also serve there. And we have a big session with the clients, and then we break up into little groups. And last Friday was one of those days. And on that day, I heard two stories. One that was a true story that happened just before Christmas. And the other is an old Native American legend that I had heard before, but with new ears. So I'd like to share the first one with you, the true story. And our leader gave me permission to share it with you about one of the clients. I'll save the Native American legend for my closing. Just before Christmas, my friend had taken several clients, those who wanted to go, to volunteer to deliver gifts to children out at a migrant center west of town. And she said she was particularly surprised to see one young man volunteer who had been in treatment for about a month. I'll call him Jeremy to protect his identity. Jeremy had had a horrific childhood. He witnessed atrocities that no one should ever have to endure, not the least of which as a child. And now, here in treatment, he was shuffling through his days. He usually wore an old sweatshirt and baggy pants and slippers and would literally shuffle through the halls, shoulders down, head down. She rightly described him as somebody who was sleepwalking through life right now, trying to come back to life. And now, Jeremy had volunteered to go with them to help children. He didn't seem too into it, but he was there in the van, and they went. And they had set up a tree, and they brought the gifts around the tree, and as there were thousands of gifts. They weren't the only ones there bringing gifts. He only watched. She was okay with that. She was thrilled that he was there. All of the other clients were helping children pick out presents or helping to move things, helping to load things into vehicles. He wouldn't engage with anybody, and he wasn't really talking. He was just watching. Hundreds of these migrant and poor children received their one gift, and their excitement didn't seem to move him even to smile. So the time came for the clients to pile back into their vans and return to the residence of the center, but my friend said she and Jeremy were standing next to the tree, and that the last to leave was a mom and her little girl, and they were going off, and all of a sudden, the little girl turned around and came running back to Jeremy. He didn't even notice her. And she started tugging on his sweatshirt. And he looked down and she said, Mister, can we have the tree? And so he looked at my friend and my friend said, sure, you can have the tree. So Jeremy kind of brightened up a little bit and he looked at her and he said, where's your car? And he lifted it, and come to find out, her car was blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks away. And he lifted up that tree, he carried it to her car, and then he had to find twine somewhere to tie it on top of the car, because it was a smaller car, which he did. And he accomplished that mission in a very focused way. Back at the center now, He's still not engaging very much, but he's beginning. He's opening, perhaps ever so slowly, to the truth of how God sees him, being made new in the compassion being shown to him. And maybe, just maybe, out of that simple act of kindness for one little girl and her family, he's saying yes to the work of his higher power within him. Just maybe. And you shall be called by a new name, says the prophet Isaiah, to those in exile. And in exile, lost, was how Jeremy had been for so many awful reasons. And now, newly clean and sober, Jeremy made a decision to go with his group to help, and then finally really did engage with a child. Taking a peek out of the doom of his life, he had been and was able to just begin by seeing somebody else's needs instead of his own. It's transformative. And hopefully being able to see himself as transformed also. Water changed into poured out wine. The opportunity to shift from consuming wine or drugs or whatever in a detrimental way to becoming the intoxicating love of God for somebody else. And that shift is transformation. Does that make sense? We are to become that poured out wine and broken bread for other people. Jesus was just discovering how to do that himself, believe it or not, in our gospel story today. And it seems that his mom knew something that he didn't know yet about himself, that he could offer miracles and transformation to the world as God in Christ. It's hard for us to believe that he wouldn't have known that. But we don't know for sure if he did or he didn't. So Jesus and his mom and the disciples, they're all at this huge wedding celebration. And by the way, those wedding celebrations would go on for 7 days at the groom's house. It wasn't just like an afternoon. And we know that it was a big celebration because there were 6 stone jars, the text tells us, for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 to 30 gallons of water. That means 120 to 180 gallons total, and they would really only need a cup to do their purification rituals of washing their hands before eating and washing the dishes and washing everything else that they had to. So Mary notices the wine's gone. She tells Jesus, and he says, "My hour is not yet come," meaning he hadn't really realized in expression his true path yet. But his mom, who knew him better than any living soul, could see something in him anyway, and she's not bothered by this one bit. And she says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Hint, hint to Jesus. She was calling forth his true identity. So he looks around and he sees these huge jugs of water, these jugs that represent their Jewish religion and all of the ritual he and all of them had embraced all their lives. And somehow, all of a sudden, he gets it. And he tells the servants to fill the jars with water, then to draw some out and take it to the head waiter, the steward. And lo and behold, it's fine wine. In this, his first miracle at the wedding feast, Jesus begins his ministry. And he's taken the empty jugs and made them new, overflowing with fine wine. So what does this have anything to do with us? So what? Wine, fruit of the grape, fruit of the vine that we consume here each Sunday, represents the lifeblood of Christ in our midst. And we can ask ourselves, are we allowing ourselves to be transformed by this most sacred love personally, in our families, in our relationships, in our work settings, in society, and God forbid, in politics? Could it be possible? Are we allowing ourselves to think of the other? How shall we live? That's how it relates to us. It's all about transformation in Christ, in our everyday moments of our lives. A Native American tale One evening, an elderly Cherokee brave told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One wolf closes us off to our good, is evil, really. It's envy, jealousy, hatred, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority. The other wolf transforms our lives in love. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, forgiveness, compassion, and faith." So the grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Well, which wolf wins?" And the grandfather said, "The one you feed." Religion, at its best, is about transformation. It's about enabling human beings to live as the luminous beams of light we were created to be. And it holds out to us the possibility that we might be able to rediscover our true nature and live from that place of truth, beauty, and love that lies at the core of our nature as beings created in the image and likeness of God. Amen.